The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. Don't settle for dealership financing when you can apply for a low-rate vehicle loan at DuPage Credit Union. Visit DuPageCU.com. By member's choice, this financial institution is not federally insured. DuPage Credit Union. Banking inspired.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate, live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle. Brought to you by Coors Light and Sports Game Consultants, and presented by Nissan.
Listen to Chicago's home for sports on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2, and ESPN 1000.
Here are your hosts, Chris Black and Adam Abdallah.
It's Black and Abdallah. It's Chicago's College Tailgate. We're live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle. How about the crowd that's here at Pop's Pizza?
Love it. You'll love to see it.
Oh, baby.
You'll love to see it.
We are presented by Nissan. You can also watch the show today on Twitch, ESPN 1000 and Chicago. We are drinking Coors Light. We have a bucket.
Right,
we have bottles here. It is awesome. We have college football on the TVs. Mm. A lot of great people have come out to watch the show, to hang out, to watch college football. That's what this is all about.
Oh, yeah. It's great to see all the different fandoms here. This is about Pop's Pizza is not an affiliated bar with any school, which is great because They've got every game on.
They got
them
all.
There's 1,000 TVs here. Yeah. There's as many TVs here as there were at the sportsbook I was broadcasting from hungover the other night, last week.
You sounded good last week.
I did, because I wasn't actually hungover. I had a bum tum the night before, and so I was in bed at like 9 o'clock.
Definitely feel that, yeah.
Sober, and sober as a bird.
How
is that saying? We talk about these sayings every once in a while.
Well, birds don't drink, and that's why. Sober as a bird.
Well, but
have you ever seen a bird drinking a beer?
No.
Like Big Bird on Sesame Street, you ever see him?
Well, he's a child.
No, he's not a child.
How old is Big Bird?
I don't know, to be honest. I would assume he's not a child. He's been around for quite some time.
Well, I understand that.
Which now,
but how old is Big Bird? Why is supposed
he,
to be?
Like, what's his deal? Just
6 years old. I told you.
Wait, he's a
six
child?
Year. He's supposed to be six-year-old.
No, that's bird years, though.
Yeah, what is that? What's the conversion
yeah, what,
right
what
here?
What a bird years?
What
what's the conversion
years?
To bird to human years?
What do you mean
well,
bird
dog years,
years
are like 7 years, so bird years have got to be like 14 or 15.
All right, hold on.
Smaller brains.
Bird years to human years.
Yeah, think about it.
Nine to ten.
Boom.
Wow.
Nailed it. How about that? You didn't think I had that working today.
That's a 60-year-old man.
Yeah, see?
Hanging out with now Sesame Street's just creepy.
What's that about
now
Sesame
it's just
Street?
Creepy.
What are we doing there?
What are you doing? What are you showing these kids, 6-year-olds hanging out with a bunch of 5-year-olds?
You want your mind blown. Look at how tall Big Bird is.
Well, I know he's tall. He's a tall man.
All right. I mean, how old is Snuffleupagus?
8 feet 2 inches tall.
Yeah, that's the next thing we need to look into.
How old is Snuffleupagus? Well, I mean, then what's the conversion rate from human to Snuffleupagus years?
Listen, I don't. Yeah, that's something.
And then
that,
what is Oscar the Grouch even?
Well, I mean, he's in a trash can. That's what he is.
Well, he's trash. He's a trash person. He's a trash Muppet is what he is, Chris.
They're not Muppets.
Aren't they?
I don't think so.
I think they're Muppets.
This is a different universe. Completely different.
This isn't
are
Marvel,
Marvel
and DC.
Are they Marvel?
Yeah.
Is Sesame Street Marvel or DC?
They're separate.
They're not?
Two different things.
Are?
Yeah.
So they didn't avenge?
No.
They didn't?
I don't think they come together and
how
avenge.
Great would that be when they summon everybody to take down Thanos and it's like
and the Cookie Monster's the one that walks through.
Snuffleupagus is there and he's like, I got this, guys. Don't worry about
it. He walks through first and drops a bunch of cookies on the ground and everyone's like, oh, blank.
All right, let's get a
top 25 scoreboard with Tyler Aki.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
I think we're talking college football.
Are we?
Tyler, what's going on? There's
one of
the State Street Studios. What's
All
up, man?
All right, so right now, Cincinnati taking care of business. They are on top by score of 14-0 over UCF. The Bearcats, the number 3 team in the country, having no problem here with their high ranking. Michigan State, a 1-point edge over Indiana. However, the Hoosiers are driving. That game's got 12.5 minutes to go in quarter number 2. We've got a couple of upsets brewing down south, starting with Texas. Are they back? Are they back? The number 25 team in the country with a 10-3 lead over number 12 Oklahoma State. Arkansas, the number 17 team in the country, trailing at home 14-3 against Auburn. Bo Nix with a touchdown pass and 124 yards. That game's got 8 minutes to go in quarter number 2. And how about this one? Is Coach O figuring things out?
Nope.
He's got a 7-6 lead over Florida right now, the number 20 team in the country. And Texas A&M, a 21-0 lead, the 21st ranked team in the country on top of Mizzou.
Thank you, Tyler. Tyler Aki, he's live in our ESPN 1000 studios in state on State Street, giving us our top 25 scoreboards every 30 minutes here on Chicago's College Tailgate. It's Black and Abdallah. It's Chicago's College Tailgate. We're live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle today. Come hang out till 1 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. So a team that's off this week that I want to talk to you about because we kind of discussed around them. When we had our last segment 10 minutes ago with the playoff predictor, and that's the Michigan Wolverines. Michigan's 6-0. They're ranked 8th in the country. They're behind Ohio State and Penn State in the rankings in the AP Top 25. Both teams have a loss. Ohio State lost to Oregon. Penn State loses to Iowa. Michigan's undefeated. Michigan is behind them. I know the AP Top 25 doesn't necessarily mean what you're going to do to get into the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. But I think to this point in the season, each week we have a conversation about whether or not Michigan is for real. And they continue to prove to us that they are a team that is a legitimate contender in the Big Ten. And they have the bye week. Next week they have Northwestern. And then at the end of October, a big matchup on the road in Lansing against their rivals in state, Michigan State, who Michigan State is playing right now. We heard the update from Tyler. They lead 7-6 in the second quarter against Indiana. So Michigan Wolverines, wanted to talk to you about Michigan because they have the bye week and they're 6-0 and they're a top 10 team.
I think the reason they're behind in the playoff predictor, Chris, is because you look at their schedule, right?
Playoff predictor, they're ranked. They're the team on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
So they're in the good setting when it comes to the playoff predictor. They're number 5.
Well,
I'm just saying in the AP Top 25, they're ranked 8th, and people have Ohio State and Penn State ahead of them, and Michigan's a better team.
Well, it's the way they've been beating teams, right? You look at their wins against Western Michigan was big. Their 21-point win against Washington was huge. Northern Illinois, another big win. But then you only win by 7 against Rutgers. You know, you have a big win at Wisconsin, probably the biggest win of the season so far for them, on the road against a team that was ranked at the time. And then you go out and just demolish that good defense and put up 38 points. Then you go to Nebraska, and you only win by 3 against a team that a lot of people don't think is very good. Nebraska, not good this year. Scott Frost, not getting it done in Nebraska. So what is this team? Is this a team that beat Northern Illinois by 53, or is this the team that only beat Nebraska by 3, right? They're going to get tested. You mentioned Northwestern next week, and then after that, Michigan State, Penn State, and then obviously Ohio State at the end of the season. More opportunities for them to trip up than any other team because their schedule is so tough. Can they get it done at Michigan State? Can they get it done at Penn State? And then, obviously, the big the rock on the monkey on Harbaugh's back.
Chip on the shoulder.
The chip on the shoulder, the monkey on Harbaugh's back,
sure,
that he hasn't been able to get over.
Ohio State.
He can't beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
So is this the year that they get Ohio State at home and find a way to beat them and then go to the Big Ten championship game and find a way to win? Because whoever wins the Big Ten as an undefeated team is going to go to the college football playoff.
Yeah.
The question is, with these three opportunities to trip up, Michigan State, Penn State, and Ohio State, will they be a one-loss team? Will they be a two-loss team? They could be. Or will they find a way to go undefeated? I think they'll find a way to win at least two out of those three games. But Ohio State right now has just been, since their loss, just been crushing
teams.
Yeah,
they've been really good.
You know, you lose to Oregon in a very close game. You beat Minnesota at the beginning of the season. You beat Tulsa. You beat Akron. You beat the tar out of Rutgers. You beat Maryland really bad. So I mean, it's been very smooth sailing for them. I mean, they beat Maryland 66-17, right? So you can't tell me that this team isn't for real. They're also off this week. They play Indiana the week after, but then they have to play Penn State. They have Michigan State and Michigan, so they have the exact same games that Michigan has to play. Will either of them trip up before they meet? I don't think so, and I'm hoping they don't, because then that makes that matchup seem so much better.
I would say also, you know, some of the conversation about Michigan, you mentioned the close games that they've played. You know, Nebraska gave them everything last week. And we started off the show at 11 a.m. talking about how great of a Saturday last week was. You were in Vegas. You were able to see all the games. I was at home doing things and watching all these different games take place. And each game was compelling. And right down to the night game of Michigan and Nebraska gave them everything. But Michigan at the end was able to hold strong. And Nebraska, the changes that Scott Frost made at halftime, Nebraska comes out, scores 22 points in the third quarter, mm-hmm. and Michigan didn't really have an answer, and immediately it made it a ball game. And I think what this all kind of goes back to is last week they had an opportunity to kind of maybe flex a little, mm-hmm. go on the road against a down team in the Big Ten and kind of prove that they're better than this close team that's 6-0 that's not quite over the hump. Kind of like what you're saying with Ohio State. Ohio State is kind of flexing on people now.
Yeah.
When they're playing the teams that are lower in the Big Ten, they're taking care of business.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And they're, you know, style points, and, like, they're doing that. And
but
Michigan,
look at this Big Ten East right here. Look, Michigan State, Ohio State,
yeah.
and Penn State, all ranked teams, all in the top 10.
Yeah, for sure. But that's the conversation, because the two teams out of the state of Michigan, both are kind of suspect. And when you kind of try and project out how this is going to play, you know, they have tough schedules. And mm-hmm. you laid it out. Michigan State, Indiana, Penn State, and Ohio State still left on the schedule for Michigan. Michigan State's in the same kind of boat. And today they're in a rock fight against Indiana. And Indiana's leading right now. It's 9-7 with 6 minutes left in the second quarter. So, like, Michigan State is a team that, you know, a complete surprise to, I think, many. And what Mel Tucker is doing and with that program. But I think in the state of Michigan, both teams need to prove it before people are going to buy in, even though Michigan has that power, that name, the blue blood Michigan Wolverines. They're 6-0, but people are still asking for more.
Yeah, and this is why we talk about it every single week. Like life, Chris, college football finds a way. All those four teams are going to play each other.
Yeah.
So it's going to be figured out, and
sure.
you will have a winner of the Big Ten East, and you will have a winner of the Big Ten West, and it's going to be Iowa, because the rest of the teams in the Big Ten West are not good. Minnesota, Purdue, Wisconsin, Illinois, Nebraska, Northwestern, not good. So Iowa is running away with the Big Ten West. It's the Big Ten East that's going to be extremely good matchups coming up here for those four teams, and eventually they'll all take care of each other, and someone will come out on top, and someone will represent the Big Ten East, and whoever wins that Big Ten championship, I think because of the strength of schedule for all these teams, regardless of one loss or not, should be represented in the college football playoff for sure.
You know, we're talking about possible upsets today. You see what Coach O is doing?
Ooh, fighting for his job.
Hosting the Gators. I believe the Gators are in all orange today, aren't they? Aren't they wearing cool
they
uniforms?
Are.
Yeah, they're
all
are.
Orange.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I, like, yeah, he's fighting for a job, because I think we nailed it as coming into the season that he was a guy that you need to keep your eyes on mm-hmm. as a coach on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Orgeron, he won a national championship, but how much of that was Joe Brady, and how much of that was Joe Burrow, the quarterback, the offensive coordinator, and the quarterback?
45-year-old quarterback,
yeah. I mean, like, how much of that was that set up for Coach O to kind of come in and kind of get a national title early, but he really doesn't have the coaching chops to get it done. He's a fantastic recruiter, one of the best recruiters in all of college football.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as schematics, in-game adjustments,
yeah.
stuff like that, Coach O always lacked. And that's why, as a USC fan, when Coach O got the shot at SC, the players loved him.
Yeah.
He's a great recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a top head coach in college football.
Well, here's the thing, too.
He just
the locals
isn't. I was cool with him not being the USC coach going forward.
We've got two LSU fans in the house. Dan Swirsky was one of them. In the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, you can watch us at the bar here. And he came up to me and I said, "Is he going to lose? Do you want him out?" And he said, "No, they love him." So here's the thing. Players love him. The locals love him. But you know what they love even more? Winning. LSU
yeah.
is a very desirable job.
Yes.
You know, from whether it was when Les Miles was there to after that to then Coach O winning the national championship there. It is a desirable job, just like USC is a desirable job. Just like the way we talk about Harbaugh at Michigan. Very desirable job. And Coach O is the LSU guy because the locals love him. He's down there. People love the fact that he's from there and he just lives and breathes LSU, but that is a very desirable job that I would say if he is out there, that's right up there with the USC job. Because if you can recruit in the South and you can turn that around to another national championship contender, I mean, think about it. You're playing Auburn every year. You're playing Alabama every year. You've got marquee games every single year. Yes, it's a harder conference than the Pac-12 is right now, but that is a high-profile job.
You also arguably have the best home field advantage
yeah.
in all of college football.
Absolutely.
Death Valley at night, like, there's nothing better than that setting
for
in
sure.
college football. And so you're right. Like, it is a top job, and that's why Coach O just kind of getting through the SEC and, like,
it doesn't get it done.
Winning that one title and just being, like, the fifth best team in the SEC, that's not going to work. It's Black and Abdallah, Chicago's College Tailgate. We are live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle. Coming up next, we will talk about Kentucky on the road at Georgia and also Iowa. Do not trip up. Come back here on Chicago's College Tailgate.
Live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle, this is Chicago's College Tailgate with Black and Abdallah, presented by Coors Light.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
I hope that was up.
I hope we were up for that.
Yeah, I hope Tyler got that.
I didn't get that one. Sorry, Fry.
I got notes. I got notes for days. I got all these tabs open.
Hey, Abdallah, in 10 minutes, I want to go through some halfway through the college football season awards for you.
Thanks, friend, for the heads up.
You act as if I gave you a heads up you would actually do any prep
You
work.
Act as if I told you about a concert. You'd show up and stand in line.
I guess. These are good chairs, by the way.
These are good chairs. Pop's Pizza and Roselle has got some good chairs.
We went to dinner last night, and the chairs were bad. Bad chairs, great spot.
That's the most Larry David thing you've ever said. No. Sitting at the restaurant, he's like, I don't know if I like these chairs. I'm sitting weird. I don't know if I like this.
It was a weird sit. My arms were like above where I was, above the table. It was weird.
Great, though.
It was very good. All right, Black and Abdallah, Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app, every Saturday throughout the fall from 11 to 1 p.m. right here on ESPN 1000. We are presented by Nissan and also brought to you by SGCSportsInfo.com, Coors Light, and, of course, brought to you by Nissan. Today we are live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle. We'll be here till 1 o'clock. Shout out to everyone that's at Roselle today at Pop's Pizza because – this is a good crowd. A lot of Twitchers here. Our Twitch crew showed up today. A lot of people in college football gear watching the games. And like you said earlier, there are TVs everywhere. Abdallah.
It's amazing. There's every game that's on right now is on a TV. What's also great, what I love about the Twitchers being here, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, they're still on Twitch.
Yeah.
Like, they're not, like, yeah, they're here in real life, but they're also talking in the Twitch chat, which... there's got to be a comparison there for, like, you're going to a game and you're watching the game on your phone, but you're still, like you're following the stats on your phone, but the game is right there in front of you.
No, this is real world. This is how people kind of live. Like, think about it.
Yeah.
If you're dating in 2021, you go to the bar with people to not talk to people. You sit on your apps and you swipe and you scroll and you try and meet people on the apps, even though you're in a bar with people, humans. You're sitting next to humans.
Yeah.
You could go talk to another human. But instead, the Twitchers are in the chat having their conversation, sitting at the tables, eating Pop's Pizza, drinking Coors Light, watching college football. It's a good time.
It'd be even better if someone from the Twitch chat who was here put on headphones like it was a silent disco and just listened to it on the chat so they weren't like ahead of everybody
just
else.
Just hanging out
because
over in the
corner. Because here's what's happening. They're getting to look like 10 seconds before everybody else is.
Yes.
So
right.
Like I'm saying something. They're hearing it now, but the Twitch chat is going to hear it now.
And how's the Twitch chat today? Very
it's
lively?
It's popping.
All right, good.
It's popping.
Everyone's behaving?
Some people are. Big Dollar Dave is not.
What's up with Dave? What's going on there?
I don't know.
Is he okay?
I don't know. Yeah, I think he's okay.
Dave, are you okay?
We'll find out when the answer's in 20 seconds.
So Kentucky at Georgia, that's the highlight game of the weekend. College game day on ESPN television. They were in Athens, Georgia this morning. The Bulldogs, the best team in the country. The game will be featured on CBS at 2:30. It'll be in that afternoon window. Kentucky, the 11th ranked team in the country. Both teams very good on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Stoops is a good head coach, especially defensively. But Kirby's smart. And the Bulldogs, to this point in the season, they have taken the crown as the best team in college football. And now they're just waiting for someone to knock them off of that spot because also Stetson Bennett, the backup quarterback, is playing really good football, even though they're number one. JT Daniels isn't in and isn't healthy. So, like, Georgia has a lot of answers to a lot of questions, and they're passing all the tests at this point in the season.
It's going to be strength on strength because you look at Kentucky, they're 214 rushing yards per game behind Chris Rodriguez, a running back who's been playing outstanding so far this season. That's how they win games. They can't rely on their quarterback, Will Levis, to win games for them. He's got 11 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He turns the ball over. Georgia, number one in SP Plus overall, number one on defense. They're only allowing 64 rushing yards per game. So is this something that will break out for Kentucky? Can they have a breakout game? Can they run against Georgia? Because if they can't win the game through the air. So if Georgia expects them to run and says, hey, we're playing run the entire game, doesn't matter, because we know that Will Levis cannot beat us. We know that Stoops cannot draw up an offensive game plan to try to beat us. So Kentucky can go through their entire schedule, right, and beat teams with ball control, controlling the clock, playing good defense, just running the ball, kind of like the way Iowa does, right? They've got a really good defense. They run the ball. They're opportunistic. And can they continue to win games like that? Or when they face a team like Georgia, who's the best defense in the country, the best defense right now of all time college football, who's only allowing 5.5 points per game. They're not even allowing a touchdown a game.
Yeah.
And they're putting up points now, too. Their offense, they've got the 11th ranked offense in the country right now, according to SP+. So they're the most complete team in the country right now. I just don't know if Kentucky's going to be able to score. I feel like this has the makings of that Arkansas game that we saw a couple weeks ago where they just can't move the ball and can't score. And this just turns into a game where Georgia just continues to just, hey, we got a turnover. We're going to run the ball. You can't stop us. We're up 7. Hey, we turn over on downs. We're going to keep going. You punt. We're going to keep going. 14-0. Then it's all of a sudden, by the end of the first quarter, it's 21-0. You're like, what happened? And Kentucky has to throw the rest of the game just to try to get back. They can't do that, which is something Arkansas tried to do, could not get back in the game, and it's over by the end of the first half.
Georgia has allowed 33 points this season. 33
That's
points
crazy.
This season. You said it, 5.5 points per game. That also includes UAB scoring on a pick six. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A pick six.
Yeah.
So UAB's defense has put up points that equate to this point 33
yeah.
number, okay? Georgia's defense leads the country in total yards per game, 201 per game, and also passing yards, 137. It's the fewest points ever. It's the fewest points the Bulldogs have given up through 6 games since 1935. And Kentucky also is 6-0 for the first time since 1950. So Kentucky, we know it's a basketball school. But this is a year that they have an opportunity to kind of make some noise. And the Kentucky Wildcat football program's kind of been bubbling underneath for some time. They have yet to kind of pop into the top 10 and top 5. But this is their best shot. I just don't think that they have enough because the Bulldogs – not only because of their defense, but Stetson Bennett and JT Daniels are both really good quarterbacks. And Bennett filling in for Daniels, he's done a great job for Georgia.
Well, and as far as Kentucky goes, like, they have an easy SEC schedule. You know, look at their schedule. They play Missouri. They play South Carolina. They beat Florida 20-13. They beat LSU, who's up on Florida right now, 21-6. They beat them. They scored 42 points against LSU. That says more about LSU than it does about Kentucky, I think. But then you have to face Georgia today. And then that's it, because you get Mississippi State, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, New Mexico State, and Louisville after that. So you could be looking at a one-loss Kentucky team if they lose today. This is their biggest game of the year so far, like their biggest game by far. So can they take advantage? Is this the year Kentucky breaks out? I think it's going to be tough for them. I think you look at the way Georgia's been playing. Look at what Vegas always knows, right? Vegas, except for last week against Alabama, they didn't know. But Vegas always knows. Like, this is a 21.5 point spread. Like, they're the 3-touchdown favorite against another undefeated SEC school. I think Georgia doesn't trip up here, and I think Kentucky has one loss by the end of the day here.
Well, it's very likely also that the over-under is under 21.5 too.
Yeah.
It is very likely that Georgia wins this game 20-0 or 20 to
yeah.
to three or like something
oh, yeah.
very low scoring, and these kind of take care of business. Iowa hosts Purdue today at 2:30 on ABC. Iowa's the second-ranked team in the country. And you know, when we look at the top of the rankings and we look at what Cincinnati's done, Cincinnati's playing right now. They're up 28-0 on UCF. They're rolling. They're the number three team in the country. And when we look at Iowa, one has to ask, how did they get to this point? Let's go to College Game Day's Chris Felica on the Hawkeyes and the Bearcats.
The fighting Texas Aggies take down the top-ranked Tide. Number one goes down.
For 6 weeks of the season, 13 top-10 teams have lost, with six coming against unranked teams. Last year, only 18 top-10 teams lost in the regular season.
Your best of the best, they've got cracks in the armor, and that's exciting.
The upheaval at the top of the polls has resulted in two unlikely candidates emerging as college football playoff contenders, Cincinnati and Iowa.
Opportunity seized! College football world, did you see that?
According to the All-State Playoff Predictor, Cincinnati now has the fourth best chance to make the college football playoff at 45%. Iowa controls its destiny and has a 25% chance of making it, which is seventh best in the country.
Everything that happened helped the Bearcats.
The Bearcats were this week's biggest winner, according to the model, as their chances jumped 13% thanks to losses by Alabama and Penn State. However, Cincinnati has the 89th rated remaining strength of schedule. SMU is 5-0 versus FBS teams, but the other six remaining opponents are 7-21.
What a run by the Iowa Hawkeyes. Undefeated, 12-0, with a potential shot at the college football playoff.
This year is shaping up a lot like 2015 for the Hawkeyes. That year, Iowa didn't receive a single vote in the preseason AP poll and reached the Big Ten championship game. This year, the Hawkeyes started the year 18th and are already up to number two in the AP poll. Why are the chances so high for the Bearcats and Hawkeyes? No ACC or Pac-12 team currently has better than a 7% chance to make the playoff, and that team is another unlikely one, Pitt. People wanted a shakeup in the college football playoff race. It appears 2021 was listening and is happily ready to oblige.
That's Chris Felica from College Game Day on ESPN, breaking down the numbers behind the rise with the Bearcats, Cincinnati, the number three ranked team, and then also the Iowa Hawkeyes, the second ranked team in the country. Right now, Cincinnati is up 34-0 on UCF with 2 minutes left in the second quarter. So the Bearcats are rolling, and they're heading right towards the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. And let's see if Iowa can do the same today against Purdue.
Yeah, I mean, Purdue, look, you look at their defense, they're only allowing 15 points a game. The question is, how are they going to score? They're only putting up 24 points a game. So if Iowa's able to turn the ball over like they have been, it seems like they can at will. Whenever they need one, they shorten the field, and they take advantage. So Purdue dealing with some injuries on their side of the ball as well. So can they come out and find a way to upset Iowa and find a way to win?
It's week seven. It's the halfway point in the college football season. Coming up next, Abdallah, why don't we go through some awards, some halfway through the college football season awards.
Cool.
In week seven of the college football, is that okay?
Yeah.
Are you cool with that?
I'm ready. I've got a whole list.
Do you really?
I do.
Fantastic.
It will be.
You seem a little thrown off.
Not at all. Okay. Never. Always ready.
Cool.
Stay
under
ready.
Pressure.
Stay ready.
Stay ready.
Millennial Oklahoma drill.
Yes. Yes, right. You and your vape pen.
All right, I guess I'll hit him.
All right, halfway point of the college football season. We have some awards to give out. Coming up next at Chicago's College Tailgate, live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle. We'll be right back.
Immerse yourself in the world of college football. This is Chicago's College Tailgate, live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle. Brought to you by Coors Light and presented by Nissan.
Now, back to more Bleck and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
We are live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle. It's Chicago's College Tailgate, watching college football, talking college football, hanging out with you here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. It's Black and Abdallah. The show is presented by Nissan. It's also brought to us by SGCSportsInfo.com and Coors Light. Here on the table, we have a bucket of Coors Light. We're drinking Coors Light. We're having a great time here at Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle till 1 o'clock. It's Black and Abdallah every Saturday in the fall from 11 to 1 p.m. right here on ESPN 1000. Let's get a top 25 scoreboard with Tyler Aki.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Here's Tyler.
No trouble for Cincinnati with that number three next to their name. 35-0, that game almost at the half right now, although UCF is driving. So for anyone with the 21.5, you might want to keep an eye out on that one. At halftime right now, Indiana unranked with a 9-7 lead over the number 10 team in the country, Michigan State. Any idea of how many yards that Michigan State has right now at the half?
Five.
Very close. You're actually very close. 57. You got one of the digits right there.
All right.
They're on upset alert right now. Texas, the number 25 team in the country, coming up on the half right now. Oklahoma State just kicked a field goal, but the Longhorns with a 17-13 lead over the number 12 Oklahoma State Cowboys. And then Auburn, another team down south on upset watch over number 17 Arkansas right now. 14-10 lead for the unranked Tigers over the number 17 Razorbacks. Another one for you here, LSU with the ball on top, 21-6 over number 20 Florida. That game with about a minute left in the half. Texas A&M, the number 21 team in the country, having no problems with Mizzou, 28-7 right now. And Abdallah's abandoned Big Ten team, Rutgers, trailing
Rutgers.
Northwestern 14-7 game at halftime.
Nope, I'm not claiming them anymore.
Thank you, Tyler, and thank you for producing today's show. Tyler gives us top 25 scoreboards every 30 minutes here on the show, and right around 12:30 is our last scoreboard because we end the show at 1 o'clock. So thank you to Tyler and his help today here on the program. Black and Abdallah, hosting program. Chicago's College Tailgate. I was going to say, because here at Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar, every game is on a TV here in the bar, and I walked to the bathroom during the last break, and I checked in on the tall grass up in Evanston.
Oh, tall?
And how is it? Well, you know, this is a matchup on TV. For all those long grass enthusiasts, if you're a long grass enthusiast, you're probably taking in the Rutgers-Northwestern
matchup. Late in the
fall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 14-7 grappling match between the Wildcats and the Scarlet Knights of Rutgers. So the point of all this is that every game is on here at Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar. We have the Texas game. I see the LSU game over here. Man, Florida, do they look bad. Cincinnati is over there putting up points, lots of points. Every game is on a TV here at the bar.
Absolutely. And then you look around and there's fans from almost every school here also in the Big Ten. You've got Iowa fans here, Illinois fans. Just talked to some Indiana fans here that are there. There's a Miami Dolphin fans here. He wanted to get his spot for Sunday. Just wanted to make sure his table.
You're staying all night.
He wanted to make sure his table was secure for tomorrow.
Do the Dolphins cover tomorrow?
9:30 game. Oh, that's right. Are they in? They're in London, so he had to get here early to get ready for that game.
Didn't you see the quotes from Tua throughout the week talking about people driving on the wrong side of the road? And then they're like, people didn't understand that the reason he was talking about it is because the Dolphins are in London. They're like, they thought he was in Florida still.
They thought he was concussed.
Yeah, that was a thing throughout the week. Right. You know, and also, you know, Schlub is here in his Illini gear. And shout out to Note. I have never met Note. Note has followed the show. He's been in the Twitch chat. He has tweeted the show for years.
Years. And you would think he would take my suggestions of peanut butter sandwiches, but no. That's not. Years of listening doesn't mean anything to him. Doesn't mean anything.
Note's a day wonder with the show. I know. Note has been interacting with us on Twitter for easily 10 years.
Easily. Since Twitter was created.
Like 10 years? Right, yeah. Since we were interns.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Today's the first day I met Note, so
there
shout out to Note.
And try that peanut butter sandwich.
Fantastic. The Garcinos are decked out in yellow and black. They're ready for the 2:30
kick. They are.
They're ready to hopefully beat
Lucky
Purdue
socks
today.
On and everything.
All right, so it's a fantastic crowd here at Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle. Abdallah, it's a halfway point in the college football season. And I thought we could kind of give away some awards, some helmet stickers. When we look at the college football season, week seven, we're halfway through. And kind of give out some thoughts of what we have to this point in the season. You ready to go here with this?
Sure.
I'm
ready.
You're Googling halfway.
I'm getting stuff ready.
Okay.
No. I don't need halfway. What am I going to Google? Mid-season awards.
Behind the scenes here on the program.
College.
I didn't tell Abdallah that we were going to do this until like 10 minutes ago, right? Yeah. Okay. Here, let's start with this. Best team. I think this is an easy one. I think you'll be able to do this off the top of your head. The best team in college football.
Georgia.
Halfway through the season.
We're going to give it to Georgia.
And we're going to do a Big Ten shout-out for each of these awards as well.
Oh, we are?
So I think we both agree. The best team, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
The best team out of the Big Ten.
Iowa.
Give it to Iowa. The best team out of the Big Ten at the halfway point of this season. Best player. If you had to pick a best player in college football to this point in the season, halfway through, I might surprise some people with this. I think the best player that's been in college football to this point in the season is Desmond Ridder, the quarterback for the Cincinnati Bearcats.
Yeah.
I think they have had the most cohesive season to this point, and I think Ritter's the reason. I'm going to give it to him as the best player in college football to
Since
this
I
point.
Can't give it, can I can't just give it to the Iowa defense.
No,
I can't it is do
best
that.
Player.
This is singular.
This isn't best unit.
Singular phrasing. Singular player. I would have to go Desmond Ridder. I was also looking up stats for our next segment, which is the Heisman watch. But I was going to consider Kenneth Walker, the running back from Michigan State.
Boom.
Basically, put his team on. He's put that team on his back. And they're down now, but that's how they've been winning games with the run game, with Kenneth Walker slowly making his way up the Heisman Trophy watch list for a running back when all these quarterbacks just seem to be, you know, losing to each other. You've got C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Matt Corral, now all with losses. So Desmond Ridder right now, the only one without a loss. So we'll see if he can win the award, but I would say it's either Desmond Ridder or Kenneth Walker for me.
I'm going to agree with you. Big Ten, I think it's Kenneth Walker the third.
There you go.
Today, he only has 22 yards on 10 carries to this point in the game. And like you said, Indiana's up 9-7 at halftime. Michigan State and Indiana. But I'm going to give it to Kenneth Walker the third as the best player in the country out of the Big Ten. Surprise team in the country. Surprise team. Who would you give that to?
I'm going to give it to Iowa?
I'm going to give it to Kentucky. I think Kentucky to this point, they've been the surprise team. They beat Florida. I'm going to give it to Kentucky. If you want to give it to Iowa, go ahead.
I'm going to give it to Iowa just because I thought Ohio State would be undefeated until this point. I thought that they would be the Big Ten team we're talking about week in and week out, and how great and what Ryan Day has built and what Ryan Day continues to do year in and year out. But the focus for me this season in the Big Ten and around the country has been Iowa. I think Iowa could be the most surprised team. If we're looking Big Ten specific and I take Iowa out, Michigan State.
Boom.
I'm going to stick with Michigan State and the Kenneth Walker love and what they, because we're talking about Michigan being undefeated. We're talking about a one-loss Ohio State team. We're talking about Iowa. We're talking about Penn State. Michigan State, undefeated, 6-0, have a chance to make the Big Ten championship game should they win out, have a chance to make the college football playoff, and no one's talking about them.
My surprise team out of the Big Ten, Michigan State, no doubt. Disappointing team, the most disappointing team in the country to this point. I'm going to give you LSU, 3-3, last in the SEC West at this point in the season, even though they are showing up today and going to town on some Gator.
I'm going to go with Alabama. I'm disappointed.
Wow, really?
I'm disappointed.
Alabama loses one game, and they're the most
A&M, to a two loss A&M
disappointing team in the country.
Nick Saban was undefeated against former assistants, and he lets Jimbo Fisher beat him. Get out of here with his cowboy boots. Get out of here. Get out of here.
All right, Big Ten.
Disappointed.
Most disappointing team in the Big Ten to this point in the season.
Minnesota.
Oh wow.
Minnesota.
Aren't they 4-2?
Yeah. They're disappointing. When's he
going to
do something? Yeah, when's he going
to
do something? Do something over
PJ
there.
PJ Fleck
with your,
will
with
leave.
Your fat tie knot.
Are
do
you
something.
Kidding me? He's going to push so hard to try and get that USC job.
Don't give it to him.
No, I don't want him.
Do not give it to him.
Sky Uma.
Row the boat.
I'm going to give it to Wisconsin.
Gibberish.
Wisconsin, 2-3 coming into this weekend. They're the most disappointing team in the Big Ten.
I have a different level of disappointment than you do.
All right, coach on the hot seat. Who would you put on the hot seat?
Nick
on the sizzler.
Saban. Coach O. Coach O.
Yeah,
I know they're beating Florida right now, but Coach O, going in this year, I don't. I no, you
he,
can't.
He needs can't. Today's yeah. win yeah. against yeah. Florida, that's for sure. What about in the Big Ten? Who do you have on the hot seat halfway through in the Big Ten?
Harbaugh?
No. Well, see, here's what makes this tough.
Nobody.
It makes it tough because coming into this weekend – or coming
Scott Frost is on the hot seat.
You say that.
But I don't think he is, actually.
Right. You say it coming into the season. It was Scott Frost. But really, when you look around the Big Ten, any of the teams that are struggling to this point in the year,
yeah.
they're with coaches who are like legendary or legacy coaches. Like,
yeah.
If you really wanted to get into it, you could suggest, if it was any other university,
yeah.
that was Pat Fitzgerald.
But he's never going.
But
he's
not going to be on
leave.
The hot seat.
He's
so it's
never
going to
leave. No.
Right. Like, and they're winning today. But like
yeah.
coming into this weekend being 2-3, 0-2 in Big Ten play, mm-hmm. you'd be like, okay, that coach is on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's Northwestern, and they're never going to fire
also,
Pat Fitzgerald.
LSU just gave up a Hail Mary. So
well, okay. So Coach O is still doing things.
Yeah.
But, you know, Nebraska to this point, they're 1-3 in the Big Ten. They're 3-4. And they were pretty good last weekend against Michigan. They lose by 3 points.
Yeah.
Now, P.J. Fleck and the Gophers, they're up 21-9 at halftime on Nebraska. I think the answer has to be Scott Frost, even though at times here in the first half of the season, Nebraska's seemed
how about the loser of that game
seemed
has,
pretty
to,
good.
Has to leave?
Well, I don't think Minnesota will fire P.J. Fleck, so I don't think he's on the hot seat.
The tie knot is too
right.
fat.
This is one I know you'll love. So we go from coach on the hot seat to hot coach.
Ooh, hot coach.
Hot coach.
Hot coach.
Who's your hot coach in the
Well,
the
hottest name in the game is James Franklin, isn't it?
Hot coach.
That's the hottest name in the game, isn't it?
I'm going to give you Luke Fickell. I think the more that this Bearcat thing rolls and they're putting up points and they're
gotta,
top five team.
The problem with college football.
Luke Fickell is going to be the hot coach.
Here's the thing, though.
Hot coach.
They're going to be in a real conference in a couple years. So he's going to have an opportunity to make the college football playoff every single year and not have, you know, and not have to schedule these teams to make their schedule better. He's got six kids in school. He's not going anywhere.
He's an Ohio guy. He knows how to recruit the high schools
okay.
in Ohio.
He Boy, is he going to go high? Ryan Day is going to leave?
No, I just...
He's going for one job and one job only, and that's Ohio State.
But that's the name, though. That's the name. Like, who else is a hot coach at
okay,
this point
he can,
in the season?
What is recruiting for Ohio do for USC?
It doesn't. No, you're right. And coming from the perspective of who USC should hire, I agree with you.
But, that's why James Franklin's the hottest name.
Yeah, but his team hasn't been the surprise.
Doesn't matter. He's the hottest name because whoever is going to get that USC job is the hottest coach.
All right. I thought you would like that. Hot coach. What about Big Ten? You're in double up on James Franklin?
Yeah, same
no
guy.
Jim Harbaugh?
No, not Jim Harbaugh.
No Jim?
Can I give an award to the fans?
Yeah, okay.
I want to give an award to the fans this
yes.
year. Not only the fans here at Pop's Pizza
right.
and Roselle, but also the fans. College football, that's what was really missed last year. What I missed most, that's my award. What I missed most, the fans. I missed people yelling at each other. I missed the surrender cobras. I missed all that stuff. The pageantry, Chris. The pageantry of the fans. That's what I missed most. That's my award.
Shout out to the fans.
Shout out to the fans.
What about the Twitchers who are here at Pop's Pizza
Sports Bar? I said not only the ones here. I said
all right.
both fans. All the fans.
Making sure you're
all
getting
all the fans in general.
All your bases
going
covered.
To games and everything.
Hot coach.
Hot coach.
Hot coach. We have the Heisman Watch here on Chicago's College Tailgate next.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Back to Chicago's College Tailgate with Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. The show is live from Roselle and Pop's Pizza, courtesy of Coors Light. It's college football's highest honor.
From now on, your name will be followed by the words Heisman Trophy winner.
You will be the Heisman.
Here's Chris Fleck and Adam Abdallah.
Before we get to the Heisman Watch, we're live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle. We've had a fantastic time. Shout out to Pop's Pizza. Shout out to Coors Light. Also, our other sponsors on the show, Nissan that presents the show, and SGCSportsInfo.com. But Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar, fantastic spot here in Roselle. Shout out to J.R. Strauss, who is engineering today's event. Jocelyn and Travis, our promotions crew. Danny Lynch is here.
Mm-hmm.
We got whole crew drinking Coors Light here on ESPN 1000 with Chicago's College Tailgate. And also shout out to Tyler Aki, back in the studio producing today's show. It's Bleck and Abdallah, Heisman Watch, before we wrap up the program. And Abdallah, really, when we look at the Heisman Watch, Bryce Young was the number one guy going into last week. But now that Alabama's lost, it's kind of opened it up to all types of guys around college football that have a shot at this now.
Yeah, I look at the gambling aspect of this, and now Matt Corral and Bryce Young both at 2-1. Both plus 200 right now to win the Heisman. Bryce Young was the favorite, like you mentioned, but they lose that game, so he drops to 2-1. You look at C.J. Stroud is next at 7-1. And then Desmond Ridder, and the guy we talked about last segment, Kenneth Walker III from Michigan State, the running back, both Desmond Ridder and Kenneth Walker at 20-1. You wonder why Desmond Ridder, you know, putting up those stats, but is at such low odds to win. It's because of the teams he's playing. You know, you're putting up a bunch of numbers against bad teams. Can you win the Heisman? Whereas if you look at Bryce Young, if they put up a bunch of numbers and they come back, they beat Georgia in the SEC championship game, he's got a shot to win the Heisman there, I think. So, you know, and then you look at Matt Corral, is he just going to put up a bunch of numbers again at Ole Miss and then end up there? But you're looking at who's going to get the invites, right? Matt Corral, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, and probably either Desmond Ridder or Kenneth Walker will get that.
That's the Heisman Watch. He's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Bleck. Once again, thank you for coming out here to Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle. It's Chicago's College Tailgate, Saturdays in the fall from 11 to 1 p.m. here on ESPN 1000. We'll talk to you next week here on CCT.